Thank you. Can you hear me all right? Check, check, check. Your guys are awesome. Thank you, Tracy and Jeff, and thank you, Tobin. Amen. That's what I'm thinking, too. Oh, no. Oh, no. What's the Lord going to do? He's good. But I just want to thank everyone. Pastor Ed, thank you for giving me just this opportunity to share a little bit about what the Lord does in my heart. So I have a couple scriptures here to start us out, kind of like a call to worship. And I just want to kind of pray this over us. So if we bow our heads and our hearts right now, Father, you know, I commit today into your care, this message, whatever you care to pour out of me, Lord, do it. Let it be your words. Lord, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that you seek, Lord. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. And Papa, I pray that for us. And Lord, I pray that, because your word says that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and it does not submit to God. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And we don't even know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through words that are groans. Papa, I pray that you would do that. Your Holy Spirit would pray for us. And our minds, the fleshly minds, would just be quiet this morning. And that your Spirit would guide us, Lord. And I know, because your word says it, that he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So Holy Spirit, search the minds of your people. Intercede for your people. Pour your mind, Lord, into us. We want your mind, Father. Your heart. So, Lord, again, I commit our time with you, and I ask that you would intercede, you would take over, and it would be your words in your most precious name, I pray. Amen. Tracy, I don't know, do you have that responsive reading? I'd like you guys to join with me with responsive reading. Can you guys see that? So, I don't know if you can't tell which ones are bold, unfortunately. Huh? There we go. There we go. You are so awesome, Tracy. Praise the Lord. So, let me start. And then again, a responsive reading, if you guys will take the highlighted parts there. And this is Palm Sunday, and this responsive reading is Mark 11, 1 through 11, which is that triumphal entry. So as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King, our Father David. Hosanna in the highest heavens. Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Father, again, just a blessing on your word. Amen. So Pastor Ed was kind enough, because he knows my struggle with messages, and he was kind enough to give me a theme, he told me, and I appreciate that greatly. And this Sunday is Palm Sunday. And I guess that would be my heart's cry, is that we do lay down those branches, open up that road for the King to enter. Hosanna, that word Hosanna, it actually means, you dig into it, actually means, save us, we pray, exalted King, save us. You know, and that's what they were crying out as he was coming in. He was riding in the King of Kings. You know, some of them had so many different ideas of what was going on. You know, you had Judas Iscariot that betrayed him because he wasn't going to run and rule with an iron fist and take over like many thought, you know, and their hearts were crushed. Others wanted, you know, the Peter, James, or James and John argued over who would sit at his right, who would sit at his left. I actually think they thought he was coming in, going to set his throne up, and they would rule with him that very day. You know, I thought that, you know, in their hearts, they're like, who's going to get to be your number one, you know? And they were confused. People didn't understand, but again, here he came riding into town, and people didn't even really understand. Word says that people were coming because of what Lazarus, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He had just raised Lazarus. And people were spreading the word, and people came to see who this was that had just raised Lazarus. And it says that the scribes and the Pharisees were so worked up because they wanted to actually kill Lazarus. How could they allow this to go on? But man, oh man. So I kind of settled on this a little bit over the last couple weeks, and I ended up finding a old hymn, Ride On in Majesty. And let me just quote, I don't know, I've never sung this before, but I found it in an old hymnal sitting in a kind of an old spot, just on a pew, just reading this scripture, or not scripture, but this old hymn. Ride on in majesty. Hear all the tribes, Hosanna cry. Our Savior meek, pursue your road, with palms and scattered garments strewn. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head in mortal pain. Then take, O Christ, your power and reign. Boy, that just gets me. It just gets me right here, you know. Ride on in majesty. Did people even understand what was going on, you know? Him riding on that donkey that had never been rode on before. How he stirs my heart. You know, I don't pretend to be a theologian. I don't come with eloquent words. I don't even want to bring a persuasive speech. I come with a heart that's been touched by my King. And I want you to encounter him.
I truly do. Abby shared her testimony. And when I get up here, that's all I do is share my testimony of what God does in my heart. We have a little joke between some of us. Maybe it's more Mr. DeStefano and myself. You know, there's that old Neil Diamond song, The Brother Love Show. You ever? Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies. And everyone go to the Brother Love Show. Because my heart, when God does stuff in my heart, He fills it with so much love. And I don't care if I look like a fool to the world around me. I even said to Renee this morning, I said, boy, if you could be inside my head, and you could hear and know what God does in me sometimes. And that's what I want. And I don't truly know what depths and heights God has for us. I just know this little bit that he pours into Jeff. And man, I want him to pour that and more into you guys. And so, I come to you with a heart that's been touched by that king that rode that donkey. So, my one passion, and I tell you guys when I get the opportunity to talk, you know my heart, you see my tears. My one passion is to know Him, to see Him, to talk with Him, to walk with Him, to act like Him, to obey Him, to love Him, to be marked by Him. And anything that deters me from that pursuit, I want it out of my life. And He is teaching me at 56 years old. He is teaching me new things. Some of those things are about me, that He's showing me that I need to look at, that I need to address. He's teaching me about authentic humility, not man's humility, not even humility that I come up with in my head. Oh, that was pretty humble, Jeff, the way you acted. True and authentic humility is what He's teaching me. And that true, authentic humility starts with honesty, a true honesty that looks at truth and ends with responsibility, doing what I need to do. And along the way, He's showing me that there's death to self. That true honesty, looking at who I am and what's going on in my life and doing the things I need to do to get to where He wants me. Jeff has to die. Self has to die along that way. And I seek that. I really do. And I fail at that, if I'm honest. I fail. But the beautiful thing is, He is faithful. He loves me. And He picks me up. And He sets me back straight. And the other thing He's teaching me, you know, He's showing me that knowledge within, without that encounter, without that touch by Him, that just becomes pharisaical. To know about Him, to know His Word, without the touch, without the encounter from Him. Knowledge that doesn't get integrated into me, the deep parts of me, my soul, it actually ends up being something that tears me apart. Because it becomes rules. It becomes a way I should act. it doesn't create someone that has been marked, that has been touched, that has encountered the risen King. And that's what I want to be. That's who I want to be. And I'm going to do everything and anything I can to get there. And one of those things, again, that God is teaching me is truly who I am. And He's showing me that I need more time with Him. I need to block out that time. I need to focus on Him. And so one of those things that He showed me, and I've been doing it, you know, is to kind of break away, to get away, to just focus on Him, whether that's in my mornings, whether that's going away for a day, or whether that's going away for a couple weeks. And so I've been privileged, absolutely privileged, to have friends that go to Florida. Privileged. And they allow me to go to Florida too. And so that trip to Florida is a time where I can get rid of some stuff to kind of unpack. And, you know, in doing that, I can take my shoes off, take my socks off, and put my flip-flops on. I still got sand on these flip-flops. Kind of get in the moment here. I'm sitting on that beach, letting that sun beat down on me. And that time away just to seek His face, really. You can think what you want about a beach or whatever, but really this time is just a time where I sit with God. We spend time reading Scripture. We spend time with Bible study. We spend time eating, sunbathing. But really, I go there to get marked, not only by the sun and come away with a tan, to get marked by the presence of the Lord. And I'm trying, again, to try to develop that relationship with Him in a deeper way. I want to be marked. I want to seek His face. I want to develop this spiritual rhythm in my life. I don't want to just do the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And especially when I'm not experiencing new results, when I'm not experiencing more love in my life, more peace in my life, more passion for Him in my life, I got to look and say, I've been doing the same Bible study over and over and over again. Am I changed? Am I marked by His presence? Well, if not, do something different. Go deeper, seek me more, you know? And so I'm doing that. So I just want to take today, or this few minutes here, and just give you a glimpse of what He did in my life over the last few weeks. So I went to the beach, right, to decompress, to recalibrate, to get focused again. It was good. It was real good, you know? So I spent that time, and as, again, you guys know, I want to know Him better. I want to hear Him better. I want to just develop a deeper walk with Him. And I had some devotions every day. I'd be writing and trying to journal more. And one of those days I was writing, I said, Lord, I want to experience more of Your presence. Teach me more of You. I want You to talk to me and tell me more. I hear You now, but I want to hear You more. I want to hear You clearer. I want to be so obedient when I hear Your word. I want to be a Shema, a hear, do. And then I had a verse one of those mornings when I'm writing this stuff. He said something with, He will show me the way, granting me joy of His presence and pleasure of living with Him forever. That's a Psalm 16:11. And I just soaked that in. I was sitting on the beach then. And I'm just sitting there on the beach. And I spent a lot of time in one spot, you know, sitting there. I can almost feel it now. just the sun hitting you, hearing the waves. And I got up, you know, got up to start taking a walk. And I heard him say, "That's just like your relationship with me, Jeff. You sit in the same spot all the time, seeking more of me. But I am this vast earth. I am, and I have oceans and beaches and mountains and deserts and valleys. And you sit in the same spot, reading the same scriptures, seeking the same thing. Explore me. Walk over my beaches. Ask me to take you new places. Show me new things." And I was like, whoa. And he said, "You sit in the same spot. You need to get rid of some of the stuff that keeps you there. Fear. Complacency. Status quo." So he allowed me to explore some of him, you know. One of those things, and I wasn't even thinking of talking about this, but one of those things was, you know, again, this is. I don't know if this was the fifth year we've gone there or fourth year, but every year I'll go look for a seashell. Maybe this one year I'm looking for one kind of seashell. Everybody gets a kick out of Jeff looking for seashells, you know. But this year I ran into some guy, and this guy was just bent over, just like this. And I walked by him and going, "What in the world?" He didn't have any seashells in his hand. He just standing there looking at the sand. And if you guys know me, I talk to strangers, you know. So I said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" He goes, "Looking for shark teeth." I said, "Get out of here, shark teeth. You find shark teeth here?" And he pulled out his pocket and showed me these shark teeth. And that's all it took. I was hooked. So I spent the week. Everybody will laugh that was there, but I spent the week like this. Black and shiny, black and shiny. That's all was going through my head, you know, looking for shark teeth. And what was pretty cool was God taught me some stuff through that, you know. He talked to me about that hidden treasure, that pearl of great price that you do anything to get, right? You go anywhere, you'd buy anything, you'd sell anything to get it, to find it. You'd spend hours bent over at the beach looking for that pearl of great price, right? You'd look like a fool because you knew if you found that, you had everything you needed. Man. And so I'd spend hours bent over praying and bent over, you know? And it was good. It was real good. He taught me some stuff and allowed me to find some shark teeth. I spend hours just looking. And Renee's walking with me one day. She goes, "What do they look like?" I said, "Well, Bucky." She said, "That one right there." I said, "Get out of here." She bent over. It's the biggest one I found all week. My wife just walked along and says, "There it is." She said, "That's the way it is, Jeff. Sometimes you need somebody to walk with you. Someone you need, someone to show you those things. You know, you don't want to be a loner, especially with the Lord. Sometimes you need that brother and that sister right there with you that says, 'Hey, you've been looking for this, but I found one. Let me show you.'" And so, yeah, he told me to explore him, to go deep in him, to look and search, you know, that pearl of great price. So one of the next days when I was alone and journaling and talking to him, I was like, Psalms 24 came up. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. And Lord, I was like, "Lord, my heart's desire is to know you better. My heart's desire is to see you. That's my heart's desire, you know?" And so I got up and I went out on the beach for a walk that day, you know? And we walked most every day. I'd say we walked anywhere, the minimum maybe 3 miles, and the most, sometimes 5 to 6, walking on the beach. And this morning, I started my walk, and I said, Lord, boy, I want to see you. I want to meet you. You know, that was my devotions there, giving me a heart's desire. I said, that's one of those things, Lord, and I want to hear you. And I said, Lord, help me learn your voice so I know when you're talking to me, so I don't have these conversations in my head. Was that you? Wasn't that you? I want to do what you tell me to do, but I don't know if that was you, Lord. I'm pretty sure that was you. It sounded like Jeff, but I think it was you. You know, I don't know if you guys ever have those conversations, but I have them. And so I'm on that walk, and I'm having that prayer. Lord, I just want to hear your voice. And I hear this. Very clear thought. Very clear. Out of the blue. It said, look for the man in the purple shirt. And I said, I'm pretty sure that was you, Lord, because I know I didn't think that. And I'm like, look for the man. I'm like, okay. So I got all excited. And again, if you guys know me, some of you know me much better than others, but I'm not afraid to talk to strangers. I'm not afraid to pray with strangers. I've seen the Lord when I go up and pray for people. I've seen crazy good stuff happen. So I'm like, in my head, I'm walking along. I'm going, pray. What do you want me to do, Lord? Am I going to pray for this guy when I see him? What do you want me to do when I see this guy in a purple shirt? And I'm looking, you know, beach, people walking down the beach. I'm like, where's he at, Lord? Purple, purple, purple. You know, just like this black and shiny, black and shiny. I'm going, purple, purple, purple. A guy. I'm looking for a guy, not a girl. There's a girl. No. Purple, purple. There's a purple girl. And I'm looking, you know, walking around. In my head, I'm going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do when I see this guy in the purple shirt? And I mean, my head's going, man. Well, if he asked me to pray, I'd pray for people before I pray. What if... And I just, my head's just going around and around and around. And I'm thinking, pray for the guy. I'm probably going to have to pray for this guy. I just got to be humble. Just, you know, don't want to embarrass him, you know, because I sometimes can act strange with people. Hey, man, I'm going to pray for you, you know. And I'm walking and I'm praying and I'm walking and I'm looking. And I'm not seeing one guy with a purple shirt. And I'm like, Lord, maybe it wasn't you. Because there's nobody around with the purple shirt, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm at about mile 5 walking, and I look, and I go, purple. And my heart just starts pounding like this. I'm going, holy smokes, there's a purple shirt. It's coming right at me. And I'm getting so excited, I'm actually getting nervous, you know. And in my head, again, I'm going, what am I going to say? How am I going to approach him? You know, I don't want to be too strange when he comes this way, you know, because, you know, he doesn't know that I know I'm supposed to have this interaction with him, you know, and I'm getting all worked up. And he keeps coming, and he's getting closer. And I'm telling you, he's from me to the basketball hoop, and it's a guy, and it's a purple shirt, and I'm headed right at him. He's headed right at me. And he gets close enough that I can see his shirt. Tracy, if you could put that screen up. And I'm not kidding you. That's what that shirt said. Jesus. And I stopped in my tracks. And I couldn't move. And he walked right by. And I stood there. I'm like, oh my gosh. I've been praying and asking and wanting to know you better and see you better. And I'm thinking I'm supposed to do all this stuff. And you just want me to pursue you. And I'm telling you, I was so shocked. You can't imagine. Only if you'd have been in my head would you know how utterly stunned I was. It said that. And he had a beard and a mustache. Just like that. And if I'd have had my head, I'd have taken a picture. I'd even stopped him. But he so shocked me. And I'm not here saying that it was Jesus with a purple shirt that said Jesus. So I'm not saying that. But I'm not opposed to thinking that either. But I stood there, and I couldn't do anything. All these thoughts were flooding through my head. And I turned to look for him and go, well, I better go get that guy and talk to him. And there was no one there. He probably headed off the beach. I don't know. But I just sat for the next couple days just going, what was that, Lord? What was that? And it was actually the Sunday I came back here that it hit me. I'm in the back praying and worshiping, and the purple hit me when I looked up here and saw this. I went, holy smokes, that's the same color. Oh, that, what are the odds? Like, what are the odds that I would have this random thought, look for the guy in the purple shirt? A guy would walk at me with a shirt that was purple that said, Jesus. I'm like, what are the odds? But he confirmed in my heart, you're doing all right, Jeff. Keep doing this. Keep seeking me. Keep going after me. Because he said, you know, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart and soul. And so, I continue to do that. And I'm asking you. I'm asking you to seek the guy in the purple shirt. I'm asking you to take a look with true honesty at your life. True honesty. Meaning, don't try to cover it up. Don't try to, if you see something, if God shows you something, don't get defensive. Don't try to make excuses. Just look at it. Say, yeah, Lord, I need to deal with that. Yeah, I should deal with that. Maybe he says, go deeper, and you're saying, I'm too busy. Look at that. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want you to get rid of that junk in your life. You know I don't like that junk in your life. Don't go, oh, I'll deal with it later. Look at it. The true honesty ends with responsibility. And in the middle is death to self along that way. So I'm asking you to do that, you know? And I'm asking you to understand, and maybe that's the first place, is that guy in the purple shirt, Jesus, is who I'm talking about. He is that pearl of great price. You know, the Bible talks and says in Matthew 13, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, he went and he sold all that he had and bought it. And you know, there's another story in the Bible that talks about a young guy that came up to Jesus and said, hey man, I want to follow you. And Jesus looked at him and says, that's awesome. You know, I need you to keep the commandments. He said, man, I've done it. I'm doing it. I want to follow you. He says, let me tell you something. The pearls got a lot of value. So sell everything you have and come with me after this pearl. And he said, oh man, I can't do that. He wasn't willing to give it up for the pearl. He said, but I'll do everything else. And that's it, you know? That's the deal. That's the deal. The deal is, he's worth so much more than we can imagine. And the other stuff that we decide is more important than him, it really isn't. Give it up. You know, sell that to buy that. He's worth it. He's worth it. He is so worth it. So I ran into another hymn, an older hymn here. Let me just read the words to this. Let me ask you just to close your, you know, your thoughts, your mind, I guess, this fleshly mind, and just listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you, you know. Listen to what He's talking to you about. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on Thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour. Let me see Thy face, Lord, and let me feel Thy touch of power. For the words Thou speakest, they are life indeed, living bread from heaven, now my spirit feed. So again, let me just pray now. Holy Spirit, Jesus, You're so welcome. Come. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Lord, I know You're speaking. I know it. I know it. So, Father, I ask that that we would be faithful to what You're telling us. So if we need to get rid of stuff, show us what to get rid of. If we need to add things to our life, show us what to add. Lord, if there is something that You're so stirring someone, they feel such a conviction, they need to tell someone, Lord, let them do it. Don't leave this place without picking a brother or sister or Pastor Ed or Tobin or whoever to just go up and say, hey, God's speaking to me. He's telling me I need to do this. Or maybe someone's got, the Lord's telling them, you need to pray about this. And you need someone to pray with you. So, Papa, again, just encourage people to just turn it over to You. Turn it over to You. Holy Spirit, thank You. Again, Lord, I lift up those that need a touch, that You would do that. Thank You. Papa, again, I love You. I love You. I love You. You are so awesome, Lord. Thank You so much. Lord, in Your most precious name, I pray, amen. So again, I want to encourage you.